Do we have to announce the dead guy's name, because it's in his...
Adam something, you know.
Introducing Ellie Weber, 9:02, on a Tuesday morning, as we have Sefer Mitzvot number 230, Hanging the Body.
Okay, I was not, it's not so creative, hanging the body.
The body's well hanging.
Look, if we're going to do this for real, and we do it for real, we do every mitzvah, and we put them in place, and there are fantastic and interesting things to say about this mitzvah as well. It's going to look like we're repeating a mitzvah, and we're not. Just to sort of recount, the mitzvah of burial is tied very much to the mitzvah we're going to do today, of hanging the body. So 2 weeks ago we did the mitzvah of burial, which was learned out from the context of capital punishment and what the Beis Din does with the body. Last week we talked about Dalad Misos Beis Din, Stila, Sreif, Harik, Vechenek, how the Rambam counts each of them as a separate mitzvah, but he does not count each incident of putting a person to death as a mitzvah. But he counts four. There are four ways in which a person can be put to death versus the Ramban, who says, no, there's one mitzvah, ubi'ar tahara mikirba. There are four ways to do that mitzvah. That issue of counting mitzvahs is, on the one hand, technical. Okay, you know, it's counted as one mitzvah, it's counted as four mitzvahs. But as we've seen before, often it's a window into the deeper understanding of the mitzvah. Meaning it's counted as four mitzvahs because I see the mitzvah one way. It's counted as one mitzvah because I see the mitzvah another way. So for example, we had suggested that the Ramban thinks the source is ubi'ar tahara mikirbecha. There's evil in your midst and it has to be eradicated. It's a detail whether it's eradicated via stoning or beheading or fire, or whatever. Those are details within the mitzvah. Okay? The mitzvah is eradicating the evil. For the Rambam, no. The process is the mitzvah. God told Beis Din, there are four ways in which you do this. Each of the ways is different. Each of the ways has certain technicalities associated with them. And, for example, we had suggested that the practical difference between the two shitos might be a situation in which you cannot carry out this particular form of punishment, where the Ramban might say, okay, if you can't do Sreifa, so do Chenek, because they're just details within the bigger mitzvah that this guy needs to get dead. Okay? But the Rambam might say, no, it's unrelated. You can't do Shofar, so you'll take a Lulav. Right? They're different mitzvahs, and therefore one can't cover the other. Today will be the end of that unit, which Bruce works out nicely, because the next 2 weeks, the next two Tuesdays, I'm in America. So you'll have to get as if such a thing was possible, you have to get a replacement.
Can't you find that from the yeshiva?
Huh?
Can't you find a friend of yours from the yeshiva?
He wants you to do the work. He wants you to do all the
yeshiva. He might be jealous that he'd be coming.
It's impossible to get a replacement.
I'll ask Rav Moshe Lichtenstein.
Oh, okay.
That'd be great.
Do you have any free time, right?
Some other of your friends in the market.
Okay, let's go. So now, let's read the psukim again that we've read before. The psukim are fascinating, but we need to do them in order to move forward. So the Torah says at the end of Kiseset, Perek Chaf Aleph in Devarim, V'chi yihyeh be'ish chet mishpat mavet v'humat. Okay, if a person is guilty of a capital crime and Beis Din carries out the punishment, v'talita oto aleit. That's going to be our mitzvah. We'll come back to this. V'talita oto aleit. It's not the putting him to death that's our subject today or our focus today. It's the, I don't know what you call it, the literally post-mortem?
No. Post-mortem is
he's hanging.
Yeah, but isn't it after the...
He's hanging in a post-mortem.
The coroner does the post-mortem.
Good. So, okay, so this is whatever, is the act after he's dead.
Okay.
This is not part, it's very important to point this out, this is not the method by which he becomes dead. Correct. There is no death by hanging in halacha. Okay, why that is, I can't explain. It's not, you know, there is death by choking, but there's no death by hanging. When we talk about this hanging the body, we do not mean as a method of killing. We mean after he's already dead. The better way to say this, and really the more precise way, is to display the body. Okay, the display of the dead body is the mitzvah saseh that we're discussing today.
It's like the wake.
No, it's not okay. Like the wake.
Yeah. It's also like riding a bicycle. But not really.
They reveal dead bodies.
Okay, but this is understood to be part of, right? This is understood to be part of the punishment in some way. It's true that he's dead already, but now something else is going on. One of the questions we have to ask ourselves, what is this thing that's going on? What would it mean to punish somebody after he's already dead? Isn't
maybe it's not? Maybe it's not part of it.
It's for the community. Right.
Too. Excellent. So what we know for sure is it's post his death. Okay. So one possibility that I'm suggesting is somehow it's still part of the punishment, even though it's post death, right? Other people are saying, no, there could be something else behind it that's unrelated to punishment, which is absolutely the case. So, as we've seen before, this is fascinating the way the Torah is written. It's like it calls out for an editor, except obviously there was. V'talito talit, again, then next pasuk. Lo talin nivlato al ha'etz. Right? Display the body, hang the body. Don't display the body, don't hang the body. Well, make up your mind.
Right, which one?
Okay? So we've already seen, and we'll come back to it again, that it is a tension. There is an element of, let's call it in halacha, nivul hames, by displaying it. Right? Even in ourselves, we know this. Like, if you did, I just watched this show on Eli Cohen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay? They left him hanging in the square. I don't know, a while. It was understood that, you know, this was a public display, and I can't get it out of my mind. Actually, they left him hanging there with like a milk. What those people stand outside of stores with those things. There's a word for what you wear,
but it's like a big coat,
like
right, with like a big thing with writing saying "I'm a spy" and you know "I'm a Zionist spy," whatever it is, you know.
It said on the stoop.
And not on his goof. He was wearing like a thing over his body.
Sandwich board.
That's what I was looking for.
Oh,
okay? There is such a word for it.
Okay.
So the short answer is, presumably they left him hanging, you know, to degrade him, to make the point that, okay? And when we see that, we think to ourselves, we would never do that.
Mm.
Except it seems like what we do it, except we don't really do it. Because here, one second, thing. Because here you see, and we've talked about it before, v'talito talait, lo talini v'talait. There's this tension between do it and don't do it, which we'll see will be resolved in the brief time. It's almost like we do it in a way that's unsatisfactory. He's up there for a minute or something. It's like, okay, we're Yotze.
Yeah.
And now we take him down.
We have to ask why.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Good.
I asked earlier why King David was not over the right to buy a land.
Yeah, you asked that last week and the week before.
Good question.
Okay. Good.
You had homework.
Good. Excellent. Chav Gimel. Lo talin nivlato al ha'et ki kavor tikburenu bayom ahu. Right? The most respectful thing we can do to a dead body is to bury it as quickly as possible. And again, we saw, interestingly, despite the fact that the context of this pasuk is capital punishment, it does serve as the source for the mitzvah to bury a body, and the mitzvah is ki kavar tikfurenu bayom hahu, that day. We also saw, and this is critical to the discussion, that the mitzvah is to bury him that day, because it's assumed that the most respectful thing you can do for a dead body is to get it into the ground. But that assumes that that's the most respectful thing you can do. So, for example, as we saw, if a person dies in the afternoon and no one's going to be at the funeral if you do it a few hours later, the children, the wife, whatever. So, since the understanding is that quick burial is kavod hames, when we think that kavod hames is to wait till tomorrow or even the day after, and again, that's what you need a competent rabbi to paskin, the balance of, you know, you don't want to be a situation like the way they do it in Christianity is sort of the end of the process, right? The funeral is the high, you know, they for like a week they discuss what the arrangements are going to be,
and then it's over,
and who's going to sing or whatever. It's
right,
but I'm saying, in a way, their funerals are nicer than ours in the sense that they're planned out. You know, nobody gets up and says,
more elaborate.
Well, it's something more elaborate. Nobody gets up and says, you know, speaks extemporaneously. I didn't prepare. You know, God forbid, I didn't want to prepare a hesped. The person was still alive, right? But you know, in other religions, of course, you prepare a hesped. If the person died 10 days ago, and you've been talking about where and how and what food to serve and what to wear, okay? So it's different, but it is part of our discussion that we want a funeral to be, you know, the overriding value is kavod ames. We believe that the sooner you get the person into the ground, the more respectful it is. That can be suspended or countervailed.
Counterbalanced.
Okay, counterbalanced by the fact that you want the family there, you want other people there, what have you. Okay? Now.
Does Bayom Ahu establish a time frame? In the sense that if he is hung up in the morning, you have to bury him by 8 hours.
As we'll see, what developed is he's hung up right before Shkia and taken down.
Ah, okay.
Okay? But we do understand it literally for funerals. We want it to be that day, you know, if possible.
But it means that he could theoretically, if he's hung up in the morning, as long as he's buried before Shkia, then
absolutely.
He could theoretically hang for that period of time.
Absolutely.
It's not like
I agree completely. Okay. So why do we want to display the body and then take it down? So the pasuk says, it's really a beautiful pasuk. Ki kilat Elokim Talui. The way I would understand, we'll look at Rashi in a second, is man is Bitzelem Elokim. Right, Bitzelem Elokim Barata Adam. So you're displaying Ki'ilu Akadosh Baruch Hu. Right? You're hanging a human being. And Rashi says in source number 2, Ki Kililat Elokim Talui, Zilzulo Shel Melachu. It's a disgrace to the king meaning with a capital K. Sha'adam Asui Bidmut Diyukno, V'Yisrael Hein Banav. Because man is made in the image of God, and we are the children of God. And now he has a famous mashal that I could explain to you the parable. I'm not sure I know what it means. Mashal lishnei achim ta'omim shayu domim ben moshe. Okay, parable is there were two twins. It's not two twins.
Twins.
One twins.
One set of twins.
One set of twins. Okay, they were identical. Echad na'aseh melech. Okay, one became the king, one became a criminal. We've mentioned this before, that's Whitey Bulger and his brother. Okay, fine.
Isn't there a Prince Pauper.
Okay.
All right, that might be better than Whitey.
Okay.
Yes.
I heard it was the same actor.
Okay.
So they're identical. Okay. One's the king, one's a criminal.
Right.
Kol haroe oto omer hamelech talui. So if they display the criminal, people go, wait, that's the king. So therefore the king says, you know, don't display him. So kol klala shebemikra lashon hakel vizilzul. The word klala in the Torah means somehow disrespect and disgrace. Mm-hmm. So ki kilat alukim talui. So presumably what it means is that, and we never do this, which is why the parable sometimes escapes me. When you see the body, it's like you'll go, wait, God is being displayed.
Of course.
We don't think in those terms, right? It's a little hard, you know, again, it's one of these parables that makes complete sense until you think does it really work.
Right.
But in any event, the idea is you don't want to display. It's humiliating to God. I'll say this way. It's humiliating to God that one of his creations is being disgraced. Even though, again, let's be clear, the guy completely deserves it. That's not the issue. Okay? He's Tzelem Elokim, and he's being disgraced.
This is anyone put to death by court?
We'll get there. That's a critical issue. Bruce's question is actually a good question.
2 weeks in a row.
Okay. I know, because he actually wanted to know the answer to the question as opposed to
no, the
just
it was more
giving a competing shear with a question mark at the end.
Okay,
so
that's an important question.
So that's a very good question. Who gets hanged? Okay, the skila, srefa, harig v'cheneg, is it the case that everybody
The answer is no. We'll come there. So first let's start with the basic Gemara.
Do you show us faith?
Huh?
Do you show us faith?
Yes.
Or we do?
Yes. There's a big machlokas how it's done. We'll do some of the details. It's horrible, so I didn't really want to do all of it. You know, for example, women are not displayed. But, you know, it's weird because you basically, Chazal struggle to find rules for how disgraceful to make this thing. Right? They don't want, you know, he's a human being. And he's dead. On the other hand, okay. So here's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Memvavim and Beis. Tanu Rabbanan. Ilu ne'emar chet vitalita. If it said in the pasuk first chet and then hang him, ha'yisi omer tolinoto va'achakach mimitinoto. See, we know the answer, so we don't think about it this way. But the Gemara raises the question. Wait, you could have read the pasuk in theory. Had the pasuk been written differently, you might have thought we display him, right? You know, hang him up. And only then kill him. Right? So for example, when people were, I don't know all the details of crucifixion, but basically they displayed you, you know, till you died. Yeah. Right? When you got hung up, you were alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the Gemara says, raise the possibility. Could it be the case that displaying him is not displaying a dead body, but displaying him in advance? Answers the Gemara. Well, it's interesting how it says it also. Kiderech shahamalchut osa. Okay, again, let's be very careful. The Gemara says, how do I know that you don't display him and only then kill him the way the Malchut does it? Who's the Malchut?
The going to kill them.
Rome.
Oh.
Right? Mm-hmm. They're talking about crucifixion.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Which, from what I understood, from what I understand, we'll come back to this. I'm giving away too much, but I can't resist.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was like a religious thing, because a cross is a symbol of the church, so they hang you on the symbol of the church. But as my wife pointed out to me, when they hung Jesus, there was no church, and there was no symbol. If they hung him on a cross, the cross became the symbol, because that's how they displayed him. Not because there was any inherent, you know, meaning to a cross. So the Gemara here says, maybe I would have thought first you display him, then you kill him the way the Roman Empire does it. Tal v'chomer. So the end, Talmud Lomar, second line, v'humat v'talita. Okay? First he is put to death, and only then do you display him. And the Gemara says in the third line, mimi tinoto v'achar kach tolinoto. First you kill him, then you display him. Well, it's different. There's always a question. It fascinates me also. Presumably people knew we were the dominant religion. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, when Jesus and these other guys showed up, there was no church. There was nothing. Right? So you wonder if, like, Romans knew how we put people to death, so did it a different way. You know, sometimes when you wanted to create something new, for example, an obvious example, right? The church decided that they need a Sabbath.
Sunday.
But Saturday was taken, so they took Sunday. And the Muslims knew they needed it, but Saturday and Sunday were taken, so they took Friday, right? Or a better example. This is really a good one. The halacha is that you're allowed to if you divorce your wife and you're not a Kohen, you can remarry her.
If she has married somebody else. Right.
But if she married somebody else in the interim, then you can't take her back.
Right.
In Islam, just because they want it to be different, they change the halacha.
Yeah.
So in Islam, if you divorce your wife, you can't remarry her. Uh-huh. But if she's married to somebody else in the interim,
then you can.
Thus creating, according to my wife, like this cottage industry of fake marriages where you can, like, look in the yellow pages and get Ahmed to marry your wife and divorce her, then you could remarry her.
Uh-huh.
So there are many, many instances of where religions change certain things. to separate themselves from Judaism.
Sometimes there's a second
life. The Romans would do a crucifixion like 200 years before.
It was just leave it for now.
Okay. Alexander and I hung hundreds of...
Yes, I know. And it's Shalom Kahalacha.
It might have been an old... before Rome.
Okay. Listen, people knew how to kill people before Rome.
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't make it up.
Oh, yeah.
Roman ideology expressed suffering.
Okay.
That's why he wasn't dead.
Okay.
I don't know that we...
no, we don't like suffering.
We don't imply suffering.
We do not like suffering. We suffered enough.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, so what happens? So we're back, we're in source number 3, the Gemara Mevavo Medbeis in Sanhedrin. So the Gemara says, okay, you might have thought otherwise. The answer is no. He gets killed, and only afterwards do you display the body. Okay, Tzad, how does it work? Says the Gemara. Mashin oto ad samuch l'shkiat hachama. Okay, they basically leave the sentencing until almost the end of the day, until almost sunset. V'gomrim, you know, it's all for art. They set it up. Meaning the court's already met, so they know that he's Chayv Misa. But they want to carry this out in the most, I'll say, in the most respectful, disrespectful way possible. So what do? They wait. So Mashino to Ad Samuch V'Shkiat HaChama. They wait close to sunset. V'gomrim et dino, which I understand to mean they pass sentence. Now they make the announcement. U'mimitinoto, they kill him immediately. And then right before Shkia, they display him. And watch how it works. Echad kosher ve'echad matir. Meaning, while they're hanging him up, the next guy's already undoing it. So the sense you get, you know, the sense you get is we want to be yotzei this mitzvah that's really, that's distasteful. Right? Because we're not into bizayon ames. So we'll have to come back as to why we're doing this in the first place. But it's fascinating. You know, it's like it's such an incredibly interesting mitzvah that it's a mitzvah that we do, you know, holding our noses that we don't want to do. And we found a way to do it that, you know, we do it and then we undo it. Which, by the way, this is not a Chazal thing. It's in the pasuk. V'talita oto alayit, lo talin nivlato alayit. It's a fascinating thing where you find, like, the tension. And here... I mentioned it last time, but I'll just point this out. God is infinite, and God is omniscient, and God could find a million ways to do things. But we're not. So sometimes I feel like the Torah is limited by us, not by God. Like we often ask ourselves, well, God couldn't have thought of, right? But the answer is, yeah, God could have thought of it. But it doesn't work for us, because there are some things that don't work. So sometimes what God does is, Ki'ilu, we do something that we don't want to do and God doesn't want us to do to make the point that something really terrible is going on. Again, for example, I've often thought this, I think it's a Vilna Gaon, I've said it before, like, ayin tachas ayin, right, which means an eye for an eye, but Chazal explain, or halach l'moshe misinai, it means money. So, if Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, and he said, ayin tachas ayin, and all the Jews said, wow, you have to poke at the guy's eye. And he said, no, God explained to me what it means is, don't poke his eye out, pay him the value of his eye.
So why didn't it say it in the pasuk?
So the answer is that in a world of pure justice, not to get too much, in a world of pure justice, that's really the answer. I poke your eye out, I deserve to have my eye poked out. And let's go a step further. And God, in Perek Aleph of Sefer Bereishis, the Shem Elohim, God created a world of pure justice. And then Chazal said, he saw that it doesn't work. Human beings can't live in a world of pure justice. So he recreated the world with the Midas HaRachamim. So I think sometimes the answer is, because we're human beings, God says, you should know something. Really, the punishment is an eye for an eye. But in the world that you live in, so... you know, really the punishment is he should be displayed for eternity. But we're human beings. And, there are two competing values here in halacha. One is punishing him / making him an example. The other is he's kilalat elokim. You know, he reminds us of God. It's disgraceful. So those two things, God, I think God could have found a much more elegant way to work it out, but God could have, but we're human beings, and so we have to go through this process where we pretend to display his body, then we immediately take him down. Okay? Okay, good. Now, let's spend a few minutes. Skip to the to source number 12. We'll do it out of order because it'll help a little bit. We've been discussing what constitutes a mitzvah and what doesn't in the context of death, burial, and display of the body. So just to review, the Rambam says there are four ways to put a person to death. Each of those four is a separate mitzvah. Okay? Another mitzvah, we'll read the mitzvah actually, then we'll do it. Look at source number 4. This is the mitzvah of the day, number 230. The Rambam says, "V'amitzvah ha'reish lamed, she'tzivanu litzlot kitzat harugei beit din." Bruce, this is the answer to your question. We are commanded to display kitzat harugei beit din. What does that mean? Kitzat is
some.
Some harugei beit din. So, answer your question. The Rambam doesn't want to tell you. What's clear is, it's not all harugei beit din. Mm-hmm. Says we're commanded to display or to hang some of them.
Okay.
So the short answer is you can't make the yukim like this in the Sefer HaMitzvot because he wrote it in Arabic. So it's just it's not there to make in the Yad HaChazaka. You could go to town. He wrote it in Hebrew, and it's fair to say why the. But here you're basically saying why there's a translator. So it's just it's not out there. But what's clear is again, the Rambam thinks there's a standalone mitzvah to display the body. Now, we don't know anything. What's the argument against that? If you want to create an argument where you say, well, I understand it. I understand that skila is a mitzvah. I understand that sreifa and hereg and chenek. But this is just what you do afterwards. Why is this a standalone mitzvah? Or ask a better. Why isn't it simply part of, let's assume that after you do skila, you display the body. So great. So that seems like one mitzvah, right? There must be a reason why the Rambam lists them as a separate mitzvah. And this raises the issue. It's an interesting issue among we should do from time to time to remind ourselves. One of the big questions when you do Sefer HaMitzvot is what constitutes an individual mitzvah and what constitutes, part of a bigger mitzvah. So for example, I have to take an esrog, but if you look for the mitzvah of taking an esrog, you don't find it. What you do find is a mitzvah to take a lulav and an esrog and hadassim and aravos, right? And we're so used to that, we don't ask ourselves, wait, why wouldn't each of them be an individual mitzvah? The answer is, because if you took three without the fourth, you didn't get the mitzvah. But it's fair to say in all kinds of mitzvahs, there are processes and parts of it. What constitutes an individual mitzvah? Right? What doesn't? How do we know that tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh are two mitzvos? The Rambam thinks they're two, right? Why couldn't it be the case? How do we know that kriyas shema shel shachris and kriyas shema shel arvis is one mitzvah? Right? Shouldn't they be? Okay, it's always a question. So here, with respect to punishments, the Rambam actually gives us some background. Source number 12 is the last shoresh. There are 14 shorashim. The Rambam, before he wrote the Sefer HaMitzvot, wrote 14 principles. If you want to know, says the Rambam, the rules by which I count a mitzvah and I don't count a mitzvah. So the first one, for example, is I only count d'oraisa. 613 mitzvahs that were given to Moshe at Har Sinai doesn't include Hanukkah and doesn't include Purim because they weren't given at Har Sinai. Right? That's an example. 14 is, okay, HaShorash HaYudalid, HaArba Asar, Eich ra'ui limnot ha'amadat ha'gidarim b'mitzvat aseh. How do we know where to draw lines with respect to mitzvot aseh to make them individual mitzvot or parts of a group? Da, says the Rambam. Know the following. Shekol mitzvot aseh v'lo taseh yecholku chaluka rishona l'fi kavanat zeh hashar l'shnei chalakim. Says the Rambam. Know the following. Every commandment in the Torah, positive and negative, can be split into two separate categories. What are the two categories? It's interesting to think this way. Chelek lo bier hakatuv bo onesh klal. One part, the Torah doesn't tell you the punishment. Aval tziva v'azhara v'lo chiyev al ha'over din v'lo yiched onesh miyuchad ba'avro al ha'mitzvah hahu o ha'azhara ha'rimuza. For example, the Torah says, lo tiva'aru esh b'chol moshvotechem b'yom ha'shabbat. Don't make a fire on Shabbos. Okay? That is a prohibition. Now, it's true, we want to know what's the punishment for that prohibition. But says the Rambam, the prohibition stands on its own. A mitzvah, a lotase in the Torah is, don't make a fire on Shabbos. Yes, there's another part someplace in which the Torah is going to tell us what the punishment is for that. But says the Rambam, that's separate and apart from the azhara, the warning, right? Everything has an azhara and an onesh. So the Torah says that there's a mitzvah to do bris milah, this week's parasha. Okay? That's a mitzvah. We know later on the Torah is going to say there's a punishment of kares if you don't do the mitzvah, says the Rambam, but that's a different issue. Okay, so you see what the Rambam's doing? He's creating a situation in which he counts the do's and the don'ts separate and apart from the punishment that you get. Okay, let's continue. Third line. Fourth line. That's a period. V'chelek, the second part, bier bo ha'onesh v'hadin. The second part is v'nichrasa ha'nefesh ahim Yisrael, that the punishment is kares. Okay? Everybody with me?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Second to last line of the first paragraph. V'ulam. Hachelek shebier bo hadin yesh min hamitzvot haheim masha tivanu yitzale. Okay, I'll set it up for you so it makes it easier. The way it sounds like the Rambam is going is, okay, there's a prohibition to light a fire on Shabbos. That's one mitzvah. Now, the punishment for that is going to be another mitzvah. That's not going to work. Why is it not going to work?
If you get more than 600.
You're going to land up with hundreds and hundreds of mitzvahs. So the Rambam has to find a way out of that. Right? Because on the one hand, he says the do's and the don'ts are their own mitzvah. So what is he going to do with the punishment? So watch what he does. And he doesn't just do it. He believes it to be true. He says, second to last line of the first paragraph. V'ulam ha'chelek shebi'e bo ha'din yesh bo ha'mitzvot ha'im ma she'tzivonu yitala she'nisko ba'avanim mishi avar lehem. There's a group of mitzvot that if you do them, the punishment is skila. U'mehem ma she'tzivonu she'nisrof ha'over alehem. The punishment is sreifa. There are those things that you do, the punishment is hereg. Some things that you do, the punishment is chenek. Next paragraph. Next category. U'mehem ma she'tzivonu shenilke ha'over alehem malkot. I'm in the second paragraph of source number 12 at the bottom. Some category is a whole bunch of things. If you do them, you get malkot from Bezdin. U'mehem ma she'yied alehem yitala karet. Another group, the punishment for which is karet. U'mehem ma she'yied alehem yitala mita bilvad v'ushe yimiteu ha'el b'cheto v'chaper lo b'moto. That's what we refer to as Misa bidei shamayim. Bezdin doesn't do anything. God says, I'm going to punish you. And now, so what did the Rambam do? What the Rambam did was be able to create a situation where every prohibition is its own, you know, the warning not to do this, not this, that's a lo taseh. Then they fall into the punishment categories are limited. What are the punishment categories? Four types of death. Okay? Kares. Misa bidei shamayim and makos. So therefore, he doesn't have 400 lotases. He has, you know, 200 lotases and six punishments that are associated, which cover all of the lotases possible. And he says here in the end, I skipped a bunch, but he says last full line: ve'ein ra'ui shenimnech kol prat mehageder mitzvah bifnei atzma. You don't say, okay. This you get one low tap, one thing, one punishment is you get makos for this prohibition, you get makos for this prohibition, you get makos. No. Everything for which the punishment is makos is one mitzvah. Everything for which the punishment is kares is one mitzvah, etc., etc. So that's how the Rambam did it, which is how he gets into 613. Okay? So again, every low tase and every ase in theory has two separate parts. the mitzvah or the prohibition, and the punishment or the reward for doing it. But the Rambam says, I don't count all the punishments and all the rewards as separate mitzvahs. I only fit them into the category, to some overriding category. Okay? So therefore, everybody who gets, as we discussed, there are 36 crimes for which you can get a capital punishment. They're all included in four capital punishments. Everybody who gets skila, that's one mitzvah in the Torah. Everybody gets strafa, that's one mitzvah. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
So that's how the Rambam works it out. Okay?
You get a mitzvah for not doing something?
Yes and no. You get a reward. Again, it's a big philosophical account. We're not going to have time for it. But let's say...
Shatnez.
Huh?
Shatnez
is a lotzase.
We didn't...
No, so when do you get the mitzvah of shatnez? Right? Here, you go into a restaurant, and, you know, you go into a restaurant, and they put down in front of you a steak, you know, and a glass of milk. So two things happen. One is, you realize you're in the wrong restaurant. But the second thing is, presumably, if the steak looks delicious and the milk looks delicious and you don't have it, you were mekayim the lotase of not eating meat and milk. It's not recommended that you do this. Okay? But, you know, it's hard to be mekayim a lotase. Let's be honest with you. You know, I don't know, you're in the prime of your desire, you see a beautiful woman and, you know, I guess, but we don't normally think of lotases as the thing that we put ourselves in a position to do. Okay? Now
why
let's get...
Why can't you eat the milk first?
No, we don't want the steak's not toasted. The steak's not toasted, that's the whole problem.
If you were in charge of the religion, it would be a lot more
fun. We only have to wait an hour.
So you could just sit there for... Okay, the point is, can I be clear, if you're in a restaurant in which they put down meat and milk in front of you, you're not supposed to look for a way. When my wife and I go, when we go on vacation, which isn't that often, I'm always like, it's become like a joke, like I always want to eat everything. Like, oh, there must be a way that, you know, my wife's like, no, you can't. We're sitting in this, like, spa hotel, like outside of Budapest. It's like, you know, the goyim are goyim of, like, no one speaks English, it's the most Hungarian people ever, right? And we're watching, so we're there for breakfast, you know, you have some fruit that's there and the juice, whatever. And we're next to the person who's making the omelets, okay? Where, you know, you can have like a pork omelet, or there's like meat all over the place, and like, exactly, whatever. And so I say to my wife, so like if I just get a plain egg, it's probably fine. Right? It's like, no. Okay.
So the milk might be almond milk.
What?
The milk might be almond milk.
Almond coconut,
yes,
soy.
But the pork is probably...
No, I'm talking about the original case, yes, where you're saying it's a glass of milk.
Yes,
right?
Okay, you're absolutely right. But let's assume...
And
it's
cheaper
okay
that way.
Congratulations. Okay, let's try to make one real point, which is technical, except it's fascinating. Bruce asked, accidentally, what are the situation? Do you display everybody? The answer is no, but there is a machlokas, and here it is. The Mishnah, source number 5. Everybody go to source number 5. The Mishnah Sanhedrin Mem Hei Omid Beis says as follows: Kol haniskalin niflin. The answer to Bruce's question is everybody who gets the punishment of skila gets hanged or gets displayed. Again, not Srefa, not Harig, not Penek, but Skila. Divri Rabbi Eliezer. That's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Vachachamim omrim, eino nitzle, ela hamigadef, veha oved avodah zarah. No, not true. Not the whole classification of Skila. A subset of those who get Skila, namely, you cursed God, or you obeyed avodah zarah, presumably two very bad things. Right. Only those two get hanged, get displayed. Okay, now there's a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim. How do we paskin? Why? What's the rule?
The majority.
Yachid v'rabim, not majority. The rule that we usually go yachid v'rabim halacha kerabim. So whenever it's going to be Rabbi X and Chachamim, unless it's some bizarre thing going on, Chachamim are going to win. Okay? And not surprisingly, in source number 6, the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin says, Vav, Halacha Vav says, Mitzvah, that say, Litlot et hamigadev, Ve'oved kochavim. Right? That's chachamim. Not everybody who gets skila, but a subset of skila, those who curse God and those who worship avodah zarah. Shenema ki kilalat elokim talui hare migadef omer. It's funny, the Rambam has a different reading of the pasuk. Ki kilalat elokim talui means the guy who cursed God, who was mekalel God, is hanging.
Yes.
So that's one person. Uba oved akum nemar et Hashem hu migadef. That's a gemara. So there's a technical reason why those two get it. Okay, but no surprise. Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer, who says everybody who gets skila gets hanged, and Chacham will say not everybody gets skila, just two of the categories of skila, namely cursing God or avodah zarah. Okay, the Rambam paskins like the majority. There, interestingly, this seems to be a machlokes about how we paskin, which is strange. I couldn't find it online, and I didn't have the time, but this is a thing called Azharos of Rabbi Eliyahu HaZakein. Rabbi Eliyahu HaZakein wrote Piyutim, which, you know, we don't say that much of Piyutim, but Salveig was very into Piyutim, and he pointed out that in a time where Jews couldn't learn, the way they got around it was they said more davening things, and he thinks it's a real source for halacha, the way people display them in the poetry. So Rabbi Eliyahu HaZakein, in some Piyut, makes it sound like everybody who gets Skila gets Tzuliyah, even though that's not how we paskin. So Tosfos in Yuma, Chesom and Aleph, was bothered by this. He says, Umasha Asar Rabbeinu, in source number 7, Umasha Asar Rabbeinu Eliyahu HaZakein Zichrono Levracha, he says, Min Hagan Haya Shelo Haya Makpid Lichtov Ki Hilchatan, Misha Yisei Al Misha Yisei. He says, it's really an unbelievable thing, because it sounds like Rabbi Eliyahu HaZakein paskins like Rabbi Eliezer against Chacham. So he says, no, these people who wrote Piyutim, something they just needed it to rhyme. So it's not true that that's how he really holds. He's so sure of himself. So he says, for what's an example of where Rabbi Eliyahu HaZakein wrote something that's not the halacha? He says, Al Stas, Kemoshe Yisei, he wrote, Al Stam Niskalim, that Dinatam Vinitchayev Tiskaluhu. I'm sorry, the line in the poem is, Niskalim dantem v'nitchayev tiskaluhu. If you have a person who's chayev skila, you should stone him. Vayomer hamelech tiluhu. And then the king says, hang him. Which makes it sound like everybody who gets skila gets hanged. So Tos says, no, they just needed it to rhyme. Don't worry about it. Don't take it too seriously. The problem is, and Tos should have known this, it's not just Rabbi Eliyahu HaZakein, it's Rashi. Rashi on our pasuk and in other places says as follows: Vitalita oto aleit, Rabotenu amru, kol haniskalin nitlin, sheneemar ki kilalat elokim talun, v'hamivarech Hashem. A person who curses God is biskila. Again, whose shita is this?
Like Rabbi Eliezer.
Right, that's why you have to check Rashi's sources. Rashi just quotes, he says, and then Rashi goes on to say, why is he hanged? Because he gets skila. As if the reason isn't because he cursed God or he worships avodah zarah. The reason he gets hanged is because he gets skila, and therefore everybody gets skila gets hanged, which again is not the halacha.
So why is
everybody with me?
Okay.
So this is a thing that people are interested in. Now, it's always easy to answer that Rashi, Ala Torah, gives you a pshat that makes sense in the pasuk. He's not really telling you, but there are other. But people were very bothered by this thing because it should be so obvious that Yachid v'Rabim, Halacha k'Rabim. So here, and I don't give this rabbi enough credit, I steal most of my sources. There's a sefer called Mitzvas HaMelech. Somebody wrote in Tells. He has incredible sources on the Sefer HaMitzvah. It's a very interesting thing. And he says, okay, there's a big discussion about what the halacha is and why it should be. And he says, he saw in a bunch of other Sfarim the possibility that there is a Gemara that supports the other Shita. Now, normally, who cares? It's a Machlokes Tanaim in a Mishnah. A Gemara can't go against the Tana. But what if the Gemara tells a story, and the story seems to imply that there's more going on here that meets the eye. Now, why is this Gemara not so well known? It's a Gemara as in source number 9 in Sanhedrin Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, because the answer is, and I know this because I looked for it, if you look on Sanhedrin Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara is not there. Because it's a censored Gemara. There are many, many, you're killing me. There are many Gemara, not many, but most of them have to do with Christianity that was censored. Years ago, when I was a Talmud, you could buy a pamphlet called Chesronot HaShas. The stuff that's not there, right? There's a real sefer called Dukei Sofrim with all different Girsos, which has all the stuff in there. I think now the fancy Oz V'Hadar Gemaras have them in the back. They're mostly in Sanhedrin. Okay? This is what the Gemara says.
So the New Testament version is...
Oh, well, you can't ruin it for me. I'm on the run. One second. Source number 9. You're going to love this. Vahatanya. The Gemara there brings a brisa that says as follows. Be'erev ha-pesach tila'uhu li'yeshu.
Now.
Fine.
Wow.
Okay? On Erev Pesach, they hanged Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay, no one can ask me historical questions on this. We're just reading a book.
Okay.
Okay, how did it work? V'ha'kruz yotze lefanov mem yom kodem. The decree went out 40 days before. Shehu yotze lisakel. Don't worry about spelling. That he will be stoned. That the misa, okay, of Jesus was stoning. So now the question is, wait, but why was he stoned? There are the whole range of things. Al shekishef, he did magic, but really, veheisit veheidiach et Yisrael. He was being punished for being a meisis umeidiach. That means an instigator against God, right? A person who comes to shul and says, listen, after laning, who wants to come with me to worship Avodah Zarah?
Or have the stake in
that. That's
kiddush.
But it may have to be worse than that, because the pasuk seems to be Avodah Zarah. So the answer is, he was punished for being a mesit u'meidiach, not for Avodah Zarah, and not for cursing God. The two circumstances under which your body should be hanged.
Okay?
So, kol mi sheyodeh lo zchut yavo v'yilamed alav. They answer, anybody who has a reason why he should not be killed should come to the court. V'lo mitza'o lo zchut. They didn't find anybody who spoke in his defense. U'tila'uhu be'erev ha-pesach. So now the question is as follows. Wait, tila'uhu? What does that mean, tila'uhu? That's not how we kill people in Judaism. There's no such thing. So the answer is no. The Gemara is very clear. He got skila. And then they displayed his body. So, well, first the technical, and then the bigger issue. This is understood to be a support for Rashi and Rabbi Elazar HaZaken. What's the support? The support is, here is a documented case in the Gemara of a person who got skila, but not for Avodah Zarah or cursing God, and yet his body was displayed. Sounds like the din was, or is, kol ha-niskalim niflin, like Rabbi Eliezer. Now, what's the halachic subtext is, which is fascinating, is, wait, but I thought, yachid v'rabim halacha k'rabim. But what happens when, it's not just that they did it, when did they do it, historically? In the time of the Tanaim. It's not just some story that in Vermeiza in the 1500s the minhag was otherwise. What this story does is challenge the Mishnah in that way. Why would it be the case that if it was a shitas yachid that you hang a person who is stoned, that they hang Jesus? Right? The answer, one approach is, it turns out that that's not the case. I'll admit this. Whenever it says, you know, the machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, I don't know if that means 2 chachamim, 10 chachamim, 50 chachamim. I don't know who knows those things. But the answer is, if you have a situation where presumably... Now, the thing is, I want to say this must have been really high profile. But I don't believe that that's the case. I don't believe historically that when Jesus was killed, it was such a big deal. I think it became a much bigger deal later. But at least what you find is the following, and this is really what's unbelievable, that it shouldn't be the case, but you kill a person and then you display his body. There's no reason to think they displayed his body like this. Right?
Well, that was crucifixion.
Yes, but there was no such thing yet. Meaning, later on it became a church thing.
There was a Roman
but right cross. Now, crosses didn't mean anything. They were just an easy way to hang a body. Right? They took a thing, the Mishnah describes, they put it in the ground, and they tied you by your hands. Right? So the way I understand, they tied you by your hands like this. Maybe they tied you by your hands like that. I don't know. I'm not here to claim that made a crucifixion. I'm just pointing out the obvious, which is, at a time when Jesus existed, right, a cross didn't mean anything religiously. It may have just been the easiest way to display somebody. And then, at least this is how my wife Paskins, she knows a lot about this. Probably, if Jesus was hanged from a cross, it then became a symbol of the church when they created a religion behind him. But at the time, it wasn't anything. You know? So, again, there's the technical halachic issue.
I've seen the movies.
And then, right. There's the technical halachic issue. And then there's the fascinating historical issue. I'll just say this. I don't think it was a big deal when they killed him. You know, there was no Christianity at the time.
Symbol was
he
a fish.
He had a handful of, there were no symbols, there was no nothing, you know.
Maybe Paul put it in.
Maybe Paul was there, maybe he wasn't.
No,
fish,
no,
you know.
Paul was there.
Okay. What about the fish?
Ichthos.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's an acronym for Jesus Christ, saving God.
Okay.
Jesus Christos, Theos.
And therefore?
And therefore, a fish was used by the Christians as a symbol of their religion.
Great.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
Are those now, back in modern day Gemaras, the ones that were taken out?
Oh.
Are they now put back in?
No, for the most part not, because it would change the way the page looked. Right? So it's weird. Like you just say, why don't we just put them back in the Gemara?
Yeah.
I think the reason why they don't do that is because no one wants to play with the page, because the only way you can identify where somebody is in the Gemara is by the page. So if they stuck all the censored stuff back in, the page would look different. That's what I think. Although
this Gemara implies that the Beit Din or Sanhedrin tried to issue, but historically we know it was Pontius Pilate.
That's why I don't want to get into the history. The Gemara is useful for our purposes for the halachic issue, which is if the Gemara tells the story, right, the story should be consistent with halacha. And it seems not to be. Just to finish,
yes.
We won't read inside. Why display the body? Okay, we'll read inside quickly. Okay. Why display the body? So, source number 10, the Ramban says, V'alder ha-pshat, simple pshat, yomar, ki yihyeh be'ishchet gadol shero'u lahamito alav, when a person does a really, really heinous crime that's worthy of killing him, and it's so heinous, v'lip loto aleit, legodel chet'o. So the Ramban says that the reason why his body is displayed is because the sin that he did is much worse than regular sins, and there's a sin that's so bad that we actually display the body. You know, kind of pro forma, because we're not really displaying the body.
Are we trying to tell, warn other people?
So in the Ramban, I think it's clear, it's legodel cheto. His punishment is skila, and then display. Now, it's hard when it's a punishment, you would go, well, why isn't that one mitzvah? The answer would be, because it doesn't apply to everybody who gets skila. It works better that way, right? If we paskin, then not everybody, if the answer was everybody who gets skila gets displayed, then the fair question on the Rambam would be,
is
the punishment one what has two parts? Okay. But since the Rambam paskin that it's not true, so therefore it's legod al cheto. The chinuch, on the other hand, in source 11 says, va'od nomar, ki din hatzliyah, kidei lahagbia hanidon ulefar simo le'ein kol. A pirsum in modern Hebrew is an ad. You want to publicize this to everybody. Gam birotam esek zikifat ha'etuk shirat hanidon alav, techaseh yirav afachat v'libam. Fascinating. The chinuch says, it's not just they display him for 30 seconds. When they build the thing, they build a thing to display him on. The thing is this, when people see them building the platform, they go, ooh, this is really bad. we should avoid it. Yeah. So for the chinuch, it's nothing to do with his aveira, it's to warn people, which fits into, it's interesting, it fits into both the two main theories of punishment that we discussed last week. One is pure justice, meaning his aveira is so bad that it requires two punishments. One, stoning. Two, the display of his body. Or, no, for whatever reason, his aveira is such that we're so worried about his aveira for corrupting society that we want him to be displayed as a deterrent to other people, right? Presumably both of those theories work in halacha in different circumstances. I'm a big fan of pure justice. It's easier that way. But, because in a way, I only know a few things like from Immanuel Kant. But one of the things was you can't use a human being as a means, right? To me, it feels funny that you're killing this person, you're displaying his body, so that others. But, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to run the world the way he runs the world, and so, in the end, the Rambam thinks there's one mitzvah of displaying the body, we should stop talking about hanging, displaying the body, which is unconnected to killing him. It comes from a different purpose whatsoever, it exists separately, and the fascinating machlokas of why the mission is presented as Yachid Rambam, Lezim Chachamim, and yet, at least in the Gemara's telling, they display Jesus' body. Right. Okay, which either could be a fascinating historical tidbit or completely wrong. See you in 2 weeks.